Okay, so let's talk about some of the ways that critics have interpreted Dawn in terms of race. So the one kind of obvious way, I suppose, to think about racial problems in relation to Dawn, and this is one that critics have pointed out, is that to, well, it's a familiar idea, right? The idea is that once beings show up that look radically different than humans, and you see throughout the entire first part of Dawn, Lilith is sort of repelled by the Oankali. She compares them to sea slugs. She compares them to earthworms. She sort of has trouble kind of accepting the Oankali's difference. So, in some sense, or one way to read the series would be that the radical difference between Oankali and humans kind of eliminates all human categories of difference. And this is the way that the critic Walter Bean Michaels has read the series. So Michaels writes, "Human beings of different races are forcefully reminded of the irrelevance of their phenotypical differences," what he means is like sort of racial differences, "by the fact that they are being asked to breed with aliens who look like sea slugs with limbs and tentacles. The difference between black and white, I'm sorry, the difference between black and white skin looks pretty insignificant compared to the difference between humans and walking mollusks." So, Bean Michaels is sort of furthering this view. Well, Bean Michaels is sometimes interested in saying that, well, racial and sort of gender differences are important, but the kind of these differences sometimes mask kind of the larger problems with humans, and that tends, and Bean Michaels in some ways would agree with Butler that the main problem with humans is that they sort of rearrange themselves or arrange themselves into hierarchies, and how those hierarchies sort of translate is sort of less important to someone like Bean Michaels than the fact that they're there at all. All right, but there are problems with Bean Michaels's view. So one of the main problems is that notions of a future race-blind society have been problems with science fiction for a long time. So you can read that as a positive thing, and it has been a positive thing, but the problem is that sometimes what's happened is that when you present what's supposed to be a race-blind future, you can end up just having, you know, all white characters. And so one of the examples, or a sort of easy example to go with along these lines, is if you think of the first Star Wars film, which does not have any non-white characters or non-white actors, right? That film is, you know, you can imagine the Star Wars, that first film, as kind of a ex inhabiting a future that is that where race doesn't matter, or at least human race doesn't matter. Like the matter, what matters is kind of differences between species. But the problem, you know, when humans are writing these science fiction texts and you present this future where race doesn't matter, yeah, like I say, it can all too end up easily end up being a future where you just pretend that sort of non-white people don't exist. All right, so let me continue. When we met, I'm not sure if I mentioned this when we discussed Samuel Delaney, but Delaney faced a good deal of criticism for the way he focused on race in the Einstein intersection. So some white writers of science fiction at the time, this is the late 60s, but some of these problems have sort of continued up to the present. They argued that the genre should not be political along these lines, that science fiction, because it deals with sort of either other worlds or futures, should not kind of be making sort of political statements about current racial conditions. Yeah, and I probably didn't mention this. I think we talked about a lot with Einstein. Delaney himself wrote a v review of the first Star Wars film, and he suggested that, you know, there was really no reason that that film shouldn't have sort of more actors of color. And Butler herself mentions that Delaney received like what Butler describes as 3 pounds of hate mail. So, yeah, the idea that when the Oankali show up, we suddenly have a race-blind society is fine on some level, and you can sort of see that these human categories are arbitrary. But the problem is that within a history of science fiction, sometimes that dynamic has caused writers to sort of imagine that white ends up being the default race. That's the way to summarize that. Okay, so the racial problem in Dawn, as Bean Michaels outlines it, is not that simple. And other critics have taken issue with the notion that Dawn depicts a post-racial society. And given Octavia Butler's race and the fact that in her other books, so there's a book called Kindred in particular, she's explored the historical implications of slavery, we inevitably think about problems of colonization and slavery when we confront Lilith's captivity. You may or may not have read Kindred. It's a relatively widely taught text, but that concerns an African-American woman who is living in the 1970s, who is suddenly transported back to slave times. And so she has to confront the contradictions between the kind of life of relative freedom that she leads in the present and the way that her body is interpreted during the time of slavery. Okay, so that's all to say that Butler is a writer who's not only African-American, but is clearly interested in problems of race. And so, yeah, we show up, Lilith is in this room, right? That room sort of looks like a prison cell, but it could also look like the hold of a slave ship. It could also look like a sort of institution. So it could look like one of these places where, like the Tuskegee Institute, where African American men were experimented on with syphilis. And because, again, we pick up Dawn, and we know it's by an African-American author who's been interested in these problems, we sort of can't ignore these problems of captivity that the text raises. And so the critic Jeffrey Tucker suggests that this may be one of the points of Dawn. So the trilogy's white characters, Tucker writes, have a history comparable to that which contributed to the production of African-American identity. Yeah, and a whole bunch of scholarship has read Dawn as kind of rewriting narratives of colonialism, slavery, motherhood, and restrictive ideologies of pure or essentialist identity. So all that's to say is that we can't just assume that the difference between human and Owen Colley kind of overrides all the histories of human difference. All right. So... All right, I'm going to pause here and move on to just going to pause this lecture part. Sorry, I haven't done these before, so there's going to be a lot of ums, and I'll maybe do this and whatever. The next lecture will concern Lilith's kind of odd position, given the history of slavery, between humans and the Owen Colley.